Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, via Zoom, is...
Matthew... How I Met Your Dad... How I Met Your... Haas. How I Met Your Haas. I don't know.
How I Met Your Haas.
How I Met Your Haas. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. That's my favorite sitcom. Yeah. Okay, so today on the show, we are covering a unaired pilot that was shot in 2014 called How I Met Your Dad. It was a spinoff of the long-running CBS comedy How I Met Your Mother. Just recently, there has been an announcement that they are finally going forward with an actual quote-unquote spin-off of How I Met Your Mother, called How I Met Your Father, starring Hilary Duff. It's going to be on Hulu, produced by 20th Television, which is owned by Disney, by the way. So anyways, Hilary Duff is going to be one of the producers on the show, and it's being created by Isaac Aptaker and Elizabeth Berger, who are known for the TV show This Is Us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Carter Bays and Craig Thomas are going to be executive producers as well, the creators of the original How I Met Your Mother. No word beyond Hilary Duff starring in the show on who else will be in the show. It's going to be similar to How I Met Your Mother in the fact that she's telling her son how she met his father. That's the basic premise of the show, you know. So, and it's about her and her friends and as they're dealing with life in the 2020s, you know. So. So, should be interesting to see. It's got a 10-episode order. But back in 2014, Craig Thomas and Carter Bays, along with Emily Spivey, wrote a pilot for CBS that starred Academy Award nominee Greta Gerwig, Drew Tarver, among other people. That they actually shot a pilot for. And it has leaked online. I don't know how long ago it did, but what I'm going to tell people right now, if you just started listening to this and you do want to watch it, message me at mike@cullenpark.com and I will send you the episode. Yes. I will give you a super secret link to the episode. Yes. I'm not going to share it in our show notes or anything, just in case of legal reasons. So, yeah. So, Anyways, first off, Matt, what was your initial reaction to this pilot?
You know, I really liked it. I watched it twice. You know, I thought it was actually quite enjoyable, you know, much better than Mr. Ed 2004 reboot. Of course, I think anything would be better than that, but, even Spy High is probably better than that, but, check out the Spy High episodes. Pretty funny. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, it kind of, it reminded me a little bit of How I Met Your Mother, but you know, it had its own style, obviously. It wasn't just a complete, you know, remake of that show. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of surprised it didn't get picked up for at least, you know, a few episodes, you know, like 6 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess it just didn't make it for whatever reason.
I mean, the cast was awesome, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, so you had, Nicholas D'Agostino as Frank. You had it's starring Greta Gerwig, who's recently directed the movies Lady Bird and Little Women, and been nominated for Academy Awards. So the good thing is this didn't get picked up, so she didn't get stuck in a sitcom and was able to end up getting nominated for Academy Awards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Greta is a very talented woman, so that's cool and all. I mean, I'm glad with that. You have Anders Holm as her soon-to-be ex-husband, Gavin. People know him from Workaholics, among other things. You had Andrew Santino, who people will know from I'm Dying Up Here, among other things. He's a brilliant stand-up comic. He was playing Danny, her gay brother. Her best friend was Juliet, was played by Tia Sarkar, who you know from The Good Place, Alex Inc., was the voice of Sabine Wren in Star Wars... Rebels? That's the name of the show, right?
Yeah, Rebels.
Yeah, I just blanked on the name of the show Rebels. All of a sudden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Tarver played Todd, her brother-in-law, who is on TV show The Other Two. He's also has a recurring role on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he's in a lot of things. He's a really funny guy. And then the narrator was Meg Ryan, so you know, so it's a pretty good cast. I mean, got a lot of creative juices behind this punch here. And wait, what? And yeah, it was a pretty good show. I really liked it. I mean, I've watched it 3 times now. So,
oh wow,
yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I mean, the basic premise of the show was that it follows Sally, played by Greta Gerwig, on her journey of how she met her husband. She lives in New York with her friends, is getting divorced from her first husband, and has no idea what she is doing with her life. Mm-hmm. So, that's according to the Internet Movie Database. what happens in this episode here, Matt?
Well, kind of starts off with her, like, writing to her child or children, like, you know...
Her daughter, Cricket.
Daughter, Cricket, that, like, you know, you probably can't imagine, you know, me at 27, you know, but like, you know, I did not really have my life, you know, put together at all or whatever. That shows her like hanging out with her best friend, and she's like has like a bullhorn shows up at the bar. By the way, it looks like the same bar as the bar in How I Met Your Mother. I'm not sure if it's the same one, but it looked a lot like it.
No, it's not. It It actually doesn't really look like it at all.
Well, to me, it did, because it, whatever.
No, it's okay.
I'm not a scholar of him yim, so
I watch it at least once a day. So I'm like,
okay. Yeah.
No.
And she's like, I have a very important announcement. We found a bullhorn. Yeah. like that was the announcement, was the fact that they have a bullhorn. And then they're like, who wants tequila shots or whatever? So they're like, you know, lining up shots with the fire, you know, and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, believe it or not, this was actually like an average Tuesday night for me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she goes back home, you know, goes back home and crawls into bed with her husband. And he's like 3 a.m. He's, you know, wants to go back to sleep or whatever. And she's like, I want to play you something. She just plays like her ringtone, the dun 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 dun. She's like singing a song that she wrote to the ringtone. like this is the song that I wrote on the subway or something like
that.
You know, so she's just kind of like a partier, you know, someone who's like in their late 20s who, you know, according to our society, you know, you're supposed to do things in certain phases of your life and then you're supposed to quit them and do other things and other phases of life. And that's kind of what's going on between her and her husband, because she met her husband when he was the singer of like a punk band called, was it Harry Nutsack or something like that? Or Harry Balls?
I think it was called Harry Balls and the Scroads.
Yeah, that's what it was. And now he's like some Wall Street investor dude, you know, that whole story. He used to be a punk and now, and you know, Mr. Like, he's like, he's got like a wine cellar and he's telling her that like the bottles with the red sticker, you know, you don't drink those because those are investment bottles. And then, you know, the green ones, you know, you could drink. And then, you know, the yellow ones, you know, you could possibly drink, but you should probably just save them anyway so they can then become red sticker bottles. Like, just total, like, control of kind of person or whatever. And then, you know, so they break up. And then she goes to stay at her brother and his husband's apartment.
Yeah.
And, like, her brother's kind of, like, has almost like the same personality as her husband, you know, very like straight laced, like, you know, very like,
very uptight,
you know, like kind of conservative, like as far as like how he lives, you know, type of thing. Like,
yeah,
probably not politically for obvious reasons, but, you know, although he could be, you know, cause you there are some gay Republicans, which is weird. Okay. It's like you join the party of people who hate you. Okay. Whatever. It's interesting, but, yeah, it's like I bring in politics in like the first 10 minutes of the,
it's okay.
Like, I don't know. Like that's the thing is like, okay. So like this show pretty much has everything that, you know, a successful show in that era would have. 2014. I mean, it's not that long ago. And, you know, like, her brother's funny, his husband's funny, like, they really work well together, you know, like, his husband's kind of, like, the anti of him, like, he's, like, you know, because he was, like, actually her best friend in college, and she introduced him to her brother, hoping that he would kind of loosen him up a bit, but he ended up straightening him up a bit.
So it's the opposite effect that she was hoping for. But, but it was... It's interesting. I mean, then they, you know, she's staying there, and he's all worried, you know, about her brother Danny's all worried about how she's gonna leave, you know, rings on the coffee table, and you know, make a mess of the place and all this other stuff, you know. So
right, yeah.
So he's kind of a, you know, like a Felix Unger sort of character, you know, sort of like, you know, everything's got to be neat sort of thing, at least in this episode. Who knows what would happen if it continued?
Yeah, exactly. who knows what would, you know, and, I like the one thing he said, she's going to be playing that rock and roll music at all hours of the night. Like, seriously, dude, like, are you like 1957 here? Like, and, they had, I don't know, just, That's the thing, is like they had like all the right banter and like the cool like cut scenes, like
yeah.
her like imagining what he'd be doing, because she's like, oh well, what did you do last week for dinner, or should I say last late afternoon? And then he shows him like eating like a cheese ball with like his really old neighbors, and he's like, this cheese ball is literally everything in the world. And they're like laughing. He's like, I'm tired. She's like, you live like a senior citizen.
I mean, it was like, I watched the pilot. Okay. After watching this pilot, I mean, I know I'm kind of going off here before we continue talking about this pilot, but I watched the pilot for How I Met Your Mother after watching this, just to kind of compare the two. I honestly think this is a better pilot.
Yeah, I think so too, actually.
I mean, How I Met Your Mother is a classic pilot, but still, it's like, I don't know. But then again, I mean, How I Met Your Mother is a great pilot too. It does very well explain all the characters to you in that episode, as does this. I mean, I don't see any major difference in the quality, you know, so... I'm still trying to figure out why they didn't pick this up, but
yeah,
it's neither here nor there. Next in the episode, Sally's out. You know, she's got a bunch of different food in the living room of her brother's place, and she's eating all these different types of food. She explains that she needs certain different types of food. She needs, like, you know, a salty, sweet thing. She needs this. She needs a crunchy, sweet, you know, just different, you know, whatever it is. She has, like, different reasons why she has all this different food. You know, like you do when you had a breakup or something, you know, you gotta deal with it in your own indulgences. It's better than heroin.
So, anything's better than heroin, but it's a coping mechanism. Yeah,
that'd have been a very dark, interesting episode if that was the case.
Whoa.
Maybe the show would have got picked up if that was. Anyways,
wow.
So, basically, she tries to. Her brother is telling her in his own way that she can't do better than Gavin, her husband. And so she decides, earlier her best friend, Juliet, says that what she needs to do is do a nail and bail, which she needs to basically, you know, go out and have sex with a guy and kind of get it out of her system sort of thing or something, and then get on with her life. So, I mean, Juliet's kind of the Barney of the show in a way, you know, it seems like, you know, sort of. But, so, she sets her up on a date that, with a guy she works with named Frank. So what happens then, Matt?
You know, she basically says, you know, he wears hoodies, but I'm going to put a stop to that or whatever. And, so she gets Frank over there, and he comes with his hoodie, and she's like, we talked about this. And he takes his hoodie, and like they start talking or whatever. You know, she's wearing like a really kind of sexy outfit, stuff like that. And, she's like, says like, whenever I try to talk sexy, I end up sounding like a boozy 1940s, you know, movie star. So she's like, ooh, you were in the military? And, you know, like, so stupid. And then he's like, oh, yeah, like you must have, like, really good stories. And he's like, yeah, there's a bunch. And he's like, you know, I tend to forget things when I'm being put on the spot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like I've had that since, well, I don't remember now because I'm, you know, I'm doing it right now. And then she's like, can I just stop being sexy for a moment? Tries, you know, explaining, you know, what's going on. And, you know, He's like, yeah, are you something about the nail and bail? He's like, what's the nail and what's this?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, well, we're supposed to have sex tonight. And he's like, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's like, you don't tell somebody that at the beginning of the date.
right. And so he's like, he's nervous, you know, it's hell, basically. Like, what the hell's going on? And so, you know, they start talking, and she kind of gets sad about what's going on with her husband and decides to go. Oh, also, too, because at one point her brother ended up calling her husband, telling him that she wants to talk about, you know, what happened or
needs
whatever.
To get back together. Juliet had taken her phone, too.
That's what happened.
Yeah, Juliet took her phone because she didn't want Sally to end up calling Gavin. Do you want to take a break here, Matt, and we'll talk more about the rest of the episode here? I know we're kind of in the middle of a thing, but still.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll be right back, folks, with more about Himyid.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back, folks. Yes, we are. Back. Mm-hmm. I reckon we'll talk more about how I met your dad. What do you think?
All right.
Should we?
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what we're...
What happened to me?
Our specific purpose. I don't know.
I just, I was possessed for a second there.
Yeah. Possessed by a stereotypical Southern accent.
Yes, that happens all the time, man. It's weird. accents possess me from time to time, you know?
Well, that's actually a really interesting idea. Like, instead of, like, being possessed by a ghost or a spirit, you get possessed by accents from, like, different countries or regions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the spirit of a language actually possesses you. You should write that down. It's actually a really interesting concept.
Don't steal that, people. Don't steal it.
Yeah, don't steal it. We can just edit this part out. And then,
no.
you'll hear like a weird chopping motion of like, wait, what were they talking about? And all of a sudden,
ooh, it's going like, to be a match. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's the way that it happens. It's on a rug. Okay. You're going to follow me here. Okay. And then we can call the thing, like you step on this rug and it'll change the way your accent, you know, is for that day.
Ooh.
And, ooh. And then we can call the movie Accent Rug.
I like that.
Oh, wow.
Or alternative would be called Rug Pole, as in P-O-L-E is Polish. There was a Polish spirit that first possessed you, so then you had a Polish accent. But then that then like awakened all the other spirits of all the other accents to also possess you. So it's called Rug Pole. And that could be alternative. It could be both. But like that could be like the... Or Rug Pole could be like the Polish sometimes when a film goes in different countries, they name it a different thing. So that could be like the European version would be called rug pull, and then the American would be like the accent rug. So
and that brings me to a joke I wrote years ago. So you know how there are Persian rugs?
Yeah.
And there are accent rugs.
Okay.
Now, if you had a Persian accent rug and it could somehow speak, would it sound like it's from Iran? Okay, anyways.
I like that. I like that. I mean, I think it would. I mean.
Yeah. So, back to How I Met Your Dad.
Oh, yeah. Those rugs are super expensive, Persian rugs. I mean, they're beautiful, but man.
Yeah.
It's an investment. I mean.
Oh. It's like, should I buy a house or a rug? Anyway, so. So Sally's on her date. Earlier before this, though, we kind of got some little background into Danny and Todd, the gay couple in the show. They were both arguing about her going on the date or whatever, and then they kind of realized what kind of dads they're going to be because I forgot to mention this earlier. They were in the process of adopting a baby.
Oh, yeah.
So you see, they're setting up a lot in this episode.
A lot. They're going to be, because they were kind of fighting over, like, wait a minute. This is like, I'm going to be like the, I'm going to be the hammer or what? And like, you're going to be the, the fun loving dad. And, they're going to hate me. And then it's like, wait a minute, that actually sounds great. Like, I totally want to be the disciplinarian one or whatever. You know?
Like, you'll be the fun daddy. And
Right.
So, anyways, back to Sally's date. She's on this date with Frank. And Frank starts talking about his parents at some point and talks about how now they're a tree. And she's like, what's that about? And then basically saying that they were originally two trees that they grew into one tree. You know, the old, that's an old kind of idea, that's what, what happens. I mean, it's even the logo of Lou Helen, which is a Baha'i.
A Baha'i school.
Yeah.
Or like a seminar place.
Yeah.
It's not really, I don't think it's a school where you have regular classes.
No, it's like a place where you can have retreats and stuff. And, their logo is two trees growing together.
That's right. Yeah, I always saw a tree, which I thought was interesting. I took a class, 10-day seminar there once. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good.
I've done that before too. Yeah. Because basically that place is called Lou Helen because it's named after a couple named Lou and Helen. Back to the show. she starts to realize after he talks about this tree analogy that, she's like thinking that she needs to get back together with Gavin. So she kind of ends the date. Frank calls up Juliet and says, I just wanted to thank you for the date. He's like, it's over already. He's like, you couldn't have had sex already. And he's like, yeah, we did three times. basically she figures out that she's going to try to go back and get back together with Gavin and realizes that it was probably Danny who tried to set this thing up. Danny had called Gavin and said that Sally was ready to talk, that, it was that she's in a, She's ready for a more mature relationship. She figures that out because Gavin calls her on Sally's phone. Yeah. So
right, and he's always obsessed with the word mature, and he says it mature very properly. You know, immaturity.
So
yeah.
Then we have both Juliet goes over to Danny's place and basically kind of tells him off and says, "What do you think you're doing?" And she has like special clothes on because she's got her ready, you know, her fighting clothes on. She finds out they're trying to adopt a baby, gets excited for a minute there, and she says, "We're gonna celebrate this later." And then goes on, and they end up going over to Gavin and Sally's place. To try to stop them from getting back together or save it, you know, like basically, you know, both have their own, you know, horse in this race. That's not Mr. Ed. And,
but, definitely not no. 2004 Mr. Ed.
No.
And,
yeah. So, what happens here, Matt, when they get to the apartment?
They all kind of race up there, you know, to see who comes first. And then Todd is like the one that's kind of puts everyone at ease. Like, okay, you know, everyone's looking out for her best interest. So let's try to, you know, be civil about this. So they go up there and they're going to try to talk to Sally, whatever, to try to give their, you know, perspectives of what they think. And then they're all kind of accepting of it, basically, you know, in their own different way or whatever. And her husband comes out, you know, and they're, you know, like, what's going on? A lot of people in the apartment are like, oh, this is, you know, sort of celebration or whatever for you guys, you know, getting back together. And then so Sally goes over to, you know, to the wine cellar, and she remembers, like, oh, you know, this is, you know, we used the, you know, the yellow sticker, you know, champagne, and you know, her husband's like nodding, like you know, like, you're doing good, you know, like, you remember, type of look on his face. And then that's kind of was like the last thing for her, like, yeah, it's not gonna work out, like,
yeah, basically,
well, not really, because
basically what she realizes is that she sends them out, all the rest of them out in the hallway, after a pretty funny scene where she introduces everybody, and then she introduces Frank as Danny and Todd's gay friend Frank. And he's like, "Yep, that's me, Frank, gay Frank." And then Todd's like, "Yeah, that's how we say that."
I like that. Yeah, that was a good line. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They go out in the hallway. She realizes that them getting back together should have been a red wine situation, you know, a red dot wine situation.
Yeah.
Because that should have been a special occasion where they should have been able to celebrate with the good wine. Mm-hmm. So she ends up leaving Gavin for good, basically. Then we have a scene at the end where they're back at their bar that they were at earlier. And they all end up, you know, celebrating, and basically Danny realizes that, yeah, Gavin's not good for you, sort of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they end up celebrating and find out she stole the red dot bottle of wine. And so, you know, Frank goes up to the bar to get some drinks. She comes up and talks to Frank and says, yeah, you know, it's probably not a good time for me to date right now. Maybe we can just be friends, you know, sort of thing. And in the narration, it's revealed that Frank is the father.
Yeah, so it kind of did like a switcheroo with this one where they just flat out told you in the beginning.
Yeah, because you're probably expecting the Robin type situation where in the original we find out it's Aunt Robin, not, you know. The thing is, it's funny, the script for the show actually, for the pilot, did not reveal it that way. They actually revealed it as him being Uncle Frank.
Oh, okay.
And the only person that, I guess, knew was the narrator, Meg Ryan.
Oh.
When they shot the pilot, because what ended up happening is the script ended up getting leaked online at that time.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So everybody believed that the script was going to end the same way as the How I Met Your Mother pilot.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I just realized, too.
Yeah.
So her character name is Sally, and it's Meg Ryan doing the narration.
Oh, that's, wow. That's interesting.
I wonder if that was intentional or not. It probably was, yeah.
I just thought about that, like, Harry met Sally sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting.
It'd have been even funnier if Frank's name was Harry. But
it may be a little bit too on the nose, but yeah. But, yeah.
But so that's how it ends, and I mean, I thought it was a great ending.
Yeah.
Do you want to take another break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about our final thoughts on this?
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back.
It's the ninja from the Asked Angry Ninja Show saying, come listen to the show. We got the ninja wife to give you your movie reviews. We got the conscript to give you the ninja news. And we got the battle to talk about your sports. And as always, it is the Asked the Angry Ninja Show. So ask me a question. We'll give you the ninja knowledge you need for your ninja life. Search for us anywhere you get your podcast from. Just search for the Asked the Angry Ninja Show and enjoy the show.
And we are back. All right, so there's not much trivia about this, really. The basic bit of trivia we have is that it was a failed pilot episode for a spinoff of How I Met Your Mother. The episode was never released to the public or shown on TV. CBS passed on the pilot and the show altogether due to creative differences between the creators and the studio. No word on really what caused it. Greta Gerwig blames herself, which I don't buy because I think she was delightful in the episode. But she claims that they had a test screening in a theater in Las Vegas for the show. And when they do test screenings, anytime something appears on screen, you turn your knob to the left if you don't like it, and to the right if you do. Uh-huh. That's how they set this up. So you have like a little knob that they give you, like a, you know, in the theater on a device of some sort. And she claims that every time she showed up on the screen, they turned it to the left and they didn't like her. Uh-huh. And that's why they passed. Like, I guess what she says the studio was saying is that she needed to be recast.
Oh.
Which I don't buy at all, because she's a great actress and she was fun and delightful in this episode and a joy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And she's beautiful and I really like Greta Gerwig. So anyways, I might actually watch Lady Bird tonight after recording this, just because I want to see her talent.
Yeah.
Anyways, she directed and wrote that movie. It's a good movie. So, what are your final thoughts on this, Matt? Do you think that this should have gone two series?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should have been given at least, you know, like how, they'll have a show like start like in April or March, like before all the other shows end their seasons or whatever.
Yeah, like a mid-season replacement.
It should have been at least that, like to give it a chance, like give it like, you know, 8 episodes or 10 episodes or however long, you know, they do that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give it a chance to see, you know, if they want to make it, you know, an official show back, you know, in October or September or whenever shows, you know, start up again. It seems like a missed opportunity. But then again, like you said, you know, maybe she would have been stuck in the sitcom had, you know, they picked this up. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that was involved in the show, like the actors, all went on to do other cool things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, Tia Sakaar wouldn't have been on The Good Place if this would have gone to series, probably.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and she was great as Vicky, aka the real Eleanor, in there. So
right,
you know, so she was, you know, and I love her, by the way, too. She's just an amazing actress. She's funny and cute and everything. So yeah, and a joy. That's my new thing. She's just a joy to watch.
Can you hear yourself saying that, though, or do you got like a bunch of music blaring over it, like in Spy High? What a joy! What are you saying? The music's too loud. What a joy! No, you got to turn down the music. Symphony's going too loud. What are you saying? You're the villain of the movie. I can't hear your diabolical plan right now.
Well,
okay, just kill him.
Well, that's why I fired the band that I used to have that traveled with me to play my theme music everywhere I went.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I fired them. They, you know, if I fired, I mean, I set them all on fire.
Oh, you said, oh, wow.
Wait, okay. No, I didn't. Shh. Don't tell the authorities.
Well, if you're going to upload this, then it's kind of my hands, but.
Oh, fuck.
You know, I guess you could edit that part out, but. Yeah, that was interesting.
No, I can't edit. It's, there's this thing. I just can't take anything out. It's my editing system doesn't allow me to.
Shit, so it's like a live stream almost, essentially, then. Crap. We should try one of those once, a live stream, just to see how it goes, without any editing, like, just to see, like, you know, and just let it go.
Let it go.
I don't know the lyrics anymore.
All I know is let it go. So
the cold never bothered me anyway. You know what's interesting?
Yeah.
About Sally for a second. Okay, just a ahead. Really small point. So Sally, what's the actress's name again?
Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig. So she looked a lot, in this episode at least, she looked a lot like this YouTube therapist named Katie Morton, at least to me. Maybe if you see her, you might not see much of a reason. I think it's mainly the hairstyle, because they both have blonde hair. But this YouTube therapist named Katie Morton, she's got like a, you know, thousands of videos talking about, you know, basic therapy stuff, you know, like topics or whatever. When I was watching this, I was thinking, like, she looks a lot like Katie Morton. And maybe to other people, she might not. But to me, it was like, that's this weird.
I'll have to look
her
up later and see. Yeah.
Yeah. Got some pretty interesting videos. Kind of a quirky personality, you know, like a upbeat, quirky kind of thing going on.
So, maybe I'll check that out later. So, basically, from the few, there's no reviews on the Internet Movie Database for this. So, like we normally can read on these episodes that we do. There were a couple that I read on some, YouTube videos. The whole pilot is not on YouTube, but there are people that showed clips from the, thing. Somebody said, I've just seen the entire pilot. It was kind of nice for one episode. The girl who played Vicky in The Good Place also played in this. Also nice. Mm-hmm. And then it says it. And then they spoil the end. They tell people that, you know, Frank is the dad.
Well, I wonder then, did they know that there was only going to be one episode by revealing it like that, or?
No, they were probably just going to do that, and basically the show was going to be about how she probably ended up dating a bunch of other people while Frank was her friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it. Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's my guess on it. Yeah.
By the way, if you want to try a drink, they have a drink in there called a Chardonnay. Is that what it's called?
It's Chardonnay and Mountain Dew.
Mixed white wine with Mountain Dew. Apparently, Sally and Todd invented that in college. And
yeah.
They liked it in the show.
Chardonnay. So to try that. I don't drink alcohol, so.
I very, 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 very rarely drink, so I probably won't do it. And then,
you know what I'll try?
What?
I'll mix some Pepsi with some Mountain Dew and see how that goes.
You could, or you could try the sparkling, white grape juice, which is essentially.
Yeah, that's what
I kind of like white wine, and then you could just add Mountain Dew to that. and you can pretty much taste, you know, how it maybe would taste.
Well, I don't know. Wine isn't sparkly, though. Champagne is.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But it wouldn't really. Yeah, so probably wouldn't work. Okay, yeah. Whatever. So, yeah.
Maybe I'll just use regular grape juice.
Just
grape juice and Mountain Dew.
I don't know about that.
Like some I'll just get some white grape juice.
Oh, by the way, do they make that white grape juice?
Yeah,
they do. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, all right. By the way, are they selling the Mountain Dew with watermelon at Walmart or not? You know,
I'm not sure.
Okay, because I wanted to try that.
That's something. That's something that I might want to do.
Hey, wonder if Mountain Dew will sponsor us. They like to sponsor like edgy content, you know, and stuff like that.
Come on.
Come
do
on,
it.
Pepsi.
Do it, do. Do it.
Do it. Do the do, yeah.
Do it. Do it.
Do it, yeah. Do it. Do, do it. It. Ben. Do it. It. Do it. Come on. Go be a waiter. Talk to my wife. Do it. Do it. No. KCK. I love that sketch.
So he's like, yeah. So anyways, anything else, Matt, before we go? Like, first off, you know, what have you been watching or reading or listening to? I'm just curious because, like, you know, we can share that with our fans here besides this. Well,
let's see here. You know, it's Ramadan, so usually when it's Ramadan, I kind of like to read up a little bit on, you know, anything that's, I guess, remotely Islamic. It doesn't have to be necessarily, like, super religious or anything. So right now I'm reading a book called Blue-Eyed Devil, A Road Odyssey Through Islamic America by Michael Muhammad Knight. He was kind of a, I don't know what you would call it, like a, I don't know what you would call a style, like not really beat poet, but just kind of like someone on the phrase of like normative society. Like he was basically like obsessed with like all of the weird stuff. So like if you wanted to like read like about some weird fringe group, you would pretty much like focus exclusively on those groups. So like,
is he still writing things?
He is, but he's gotten a lot more scholastic. There you go.
Scholarly.
So he doesn't really write these kind of books anymore. Mainly like, I mean, the books are still good. It's just, they don't really, it's not really the same. I mean, like, you know, we were watching videos of him like wrestling and like a fake, you know, homemade, you know, back with thumbtacks and shit like that back like in 2005. He's not really doing that stuff anymore.
So what was the name? Much, what's the name of that book again?
This is called Blue-Eyed Devil, okay. A Road Odyssey Through Islamic America. I got an old copy. So this has him wearing like a superhero costume.
Yes.
He's wearing a kufi on his head. And he's got like the sort of Nation of Islam thing with the sword above the star and crescent facing downward. Mm-hmm. And he's got like a wrestling belt that he won from, I forgot. He actually won the belt from wrestling some dude. It's like an Egyptian, WWF belt or something like that. Like an actual authentic belt that he won.
So I was saying that people should look that up.
Yeah, if they're interested in that, it's kind of an old book. I think it came out in 2005 or something like that. He was, you know, he'll even admit back then his writing was a little bit kind of immature at the time. Oh, immature. There we go. I said it right.
Yes.
You know, so like he's kind of embarrassed by his older work, which, you know, I understand that. I'm embarrassed by some of my older songs where I'm like, that really wasn't that great, and, you know, stuff like that.
And speaking of embarrassment, the thing I want to recommend people watch is The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm obsessed with it for some reason, so I didn't discover it until season 5. But
well,
I watched every episode of the show now. I binged every episode on Hulu, and you know,
you're not alone.
Yeah, so just saying, it's a fun show. In these times where we've got a lot of heavy issues on our head, it's fun, mm-hmm. You know. And I will tell you right now, I'm spoiling something, but the most surprising reveal of any of the episodes was Sarah Palin.
Whoa,
she did. She was in one episode.
Wow.
Dressed up as a teddy bear. And she did, and she sang Baby Got Back. And she changed the lyrics to be about guys with big butts.
Okay.
I will tell you, it was very kind of scary because I enjoyed her performance.
No.
And then I found out who it was, and I'm like, what?
Damn it.
I know. So, but luckily she was only on one episode. So, I don't even remember what season she was on, but it was just the weirdest reveal of any of them. So, wow. Anyways, make sure you people out there give us some reviews. We need some reviews. You know, if you like listening to this and you want to continue listening to this, give us some reviews on Apple Podcasts. Give us, a 5-star review if you like it, you know. If you don't like it, give us a review anyways. Also check out our Patreon, our TeePublic. There are other ways to help support the show. Anything else, Matt, before we go?
You know, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You know, we want to be 5-star men, you know, like in Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a 5-star man, we would like to be a 5-star.
Yes.
5-star men or 5-star humans. But, you know, if we're 1-star in your estimation, that's okay, too. I mean, it's not okay, but
we'll deal with it. If you'd like to see the How I Met Your Dad pilot, message me, send me an email that is at mike@cullenpark.com. That's MIKE, the little at symbol, cullenpark.com. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, make sure you, be kind, rewind. Be good to each other. Don't litter.
Yeah.
You know, if you see an old lady, help her cross the street and then grab her purse and steal it. Okay. Wait,
what?
Wait, no, don't do that. I'm sorry. Don't steal her purse in the middle of the street either. But anyways, wear a mask, get vaccinated, wear a condom, people.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com. Thank you.